Mark, welcome to Talk Satellite.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to have you interview me on the new job.
Only recently joined ABS. What attracted you to the company? How's the experience been so far? And what excites you about the challenges ahead?
Well, I've always been a big fan of ABS, being a startup company that's coming to maturity more or less now in terms of years. I know Tom Choi and Greg Daffner, the two founders, personally. I've always admired what they created here. And we've kind of kept that startup nimbleness, hence the agility in our new brand name, Agility Beyond Space. It's a great company. It's not a regional company, although people often classify it as such. We're the smallest global operator because we have near global coverage from our orbital positions. Great assets, great filings, great teams, great customer relations. Customer intimacy is something that's always been, in our DNA, and that will remain so under my leadership.
Previously, you were with Rivada and other LEO MEO constellations outfits. Where does ABS stand on the necessity of multi-orbit partnership approach? What are your options?
The key word here is partnerships. We believe in partnerships. We have plenty of them already in the FSS world, GEO, and we will be developing those with LEO partners, maybe one day with the MEO part, because we believe that you need to offer your customer the best possible solution for each application in each market, in each vertical. So if that is not FSS, then it's good to have extra arrows in your quiver to be able to sell a total solution. And again, it's customer intimacy, knowing what the customer wants and offering them the best possible solution. I'm not dramatically negative on FSS at all, although, as you pointed out correctly, I have spent the last 10 plus years of my career in non-geo. There's certain applications that for a very, very long time, many applications will still require geo capacity, FSS. And there's others that you can do better and faster and cheaper through a LEO constellation. I think the two will coexist for a very long time side by side, carving up the market in function of what is best suited to serve which need of the customer.
What are your aspirations for ABS, and where shall you position the companies strategically?
I think ABS is a wonderful company, as I mentioned. The fact that we have the assets we have, the fact that we have the people we have, it creates a fantastic company which can continue to grow organically. My prime mission is to get revenues to grow again. I think previous CEOs have done a great job on the cost side. We're very, very nimble, very, very lean. Frankly, that helps. If you have less management layers, it allows you to be much more responsive to customers and proactive towards customers. And I think they appreciate that. So the agility in the name we find very, very important. As we are privately owned, my main mission is to improve operations, improve sales, keep the agility in there, improve it if I can. Everybody always talks about M&A in this sector, definitely given what's happening at the beginning of the stack. The two largest are becoming even larger by combining. I don't see a necessity for M&A amongst smaller operators, but there are things you can improve operationally. Every small regional operator and ABS, we have our own NOCs, our own teleports, and it's very duplicative. The operators have 1, 2, 3 satellites, and they're all making the same investments and having the same OPEX. There are efficiencies you can drive there, and even without talking M&A, just through partnership agreements. And that's what I'll be spending my time on. What the shareholders do with their shareholding, that is up to them to decide when they want to do something, if they want to do something.
Can you provide insight into ABS strategic approach, particularly in light of those evolving industry landscapes and verticals?
We think we have capacity that's exceedingly well suited for certain applications in certain regions. We have really good, like the Northern Beam we have is pretty unique. We have excellent capacity for the MENA region, for the maritime in the Mediterranean and around there. So we have a very diverse product and service set, which sets us apart from pure regional players. And it also allows our sales force to focus on certain verticals in certain regions. And we do that very, very well. If you talk to our Brazilian customers, they will perceive us as a different company than our Middle Eastern customers will, because we're involved in different parts of the spectrum of verticals that this industry serves.
Do you anticipate geo becoming less relevant over the next 10 years?
The people who believe that geo is going to die are you know, making the classical mistake people do when they do a valuation exercise in a spreadsheet, i.e. you extrapolate. So we've gone through, as an industry, through a few years, maybe 10 years plus, which were difficult, price erosion and all that. But we shouldn't forget that on the CapEx side, at the same time, the cost per megahertz or per megabit has come down dramatically as well, with high throughput satellites, spot beams, frequency reuse, and so on. So if anyone ever thought 20 years ago that with the advent of high throughput satellites, we would be able to continue to charge for a spot beam over a small region the same price that the industry was commanding for continental coverage, if you just thought you were going to be able to keep the same prices, I never really understood that. That was a bit of a white lie we were telling ourselves, maybe some of us, but I've never believed in it. But so I'm not defeatist. I think you need to get your cost point as low as possible, both on the CapEx side by designing well your replacement satellites, which we're in the process of doing, and making sure you're nimble, agile, and lean, which we already are. And so companies like ours, I think, will have a bright future. On the high end of the larger companies like SES, Intelsat, I think that they have a raison d'être as well. But they are other animals than we and our peers are.
One of the key points that I think everyone's asking, can you update us on ABS satellite fleet, possible expansions to that?
So yes, what I can talk about is that obviously the one satellite that will need to be replaced first, ABS-2, we're working on scenarios to how to replace that with, as I alluded to earlier, the most efficient design for the frequencies we have and the regions we can serve, given coordination constraints and so on. So that's a very complex exercise, as I hope you'll appreciate. And that will take some time before we're able to go to market to have that thing built. But it's definitely high on our priority list. 2A and 3A are young and have excellent fuel life ahead of them. So that's not necessarily a priority at all. And then, as I think was mentioned in a recent press release, we have BBIUD 116.1 is in the arc, situated nicely above the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, and so on. And so we're looking to see how we can develop that. We went through the expense and effort of doing a BBIU last year. So we have some time ahead of us to make those plans more concrete. And if we can get a business case together that makes sense, we'll be pushing the button on that.
Mark, thank you very much. We wish you every success.
Thanks, Kevin. Always a pleasure.